Hey there, just a quick note before we get started. I don't run any ads on this show, basically because I think ads are annoying, and you probably do too, so I'm not planning to use any ads. But if you'd like to support the show directly so that I can reach more people and help more people, I've created a way for you to do that through a website called Buy Me a Coffee. That's kind of ironic because I don't even drink coffee, and so I promise I won't spend any of the money on coffee. But if you'd like to support the show, and you can afford to financially, I don't want any of your money if you can't afford it, but if you can afford it and you'd like to do it, go to buymeacoffee.com/fastingwell, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well. You'll find my profile there, and it lets you do either a recurring monthly or yearly contribution, or just a one-time contribution, whatever you prefer. Now, let's get on to the show. Welcome to the Fasting Well podcast. This is episode number 4, and today I'll be talking about step number 1, the very first step that you could take as a total beginner to get started with fasting. I think to a lot of people, fasting sounds intimidating, and so even though they're kind of interested and they kind of think it could help them, they put it off. They procrastinate and never really get started because it just seems like too much. But if you start with baby steps, it can actually be pretty easy. And by starting with baby steps, you give your body and your mind a chance to adapt to something new. And then as time goes on, it gets easier and easier. So here it is. Here's step number 1. Wait for it. Stop snacking. Stop snacking in between meals and after dinner. You don't have to do it all at once. For example, you don't have to stop snacking the whole day, the very first day. Maybe you could just try just in between breakfast and lunch, or just in between lunch and dinner, or just after dinner, and then you can gradually add on longer stretches where you don't snack. Instead of snacking, you would focus on meal timing to have a consistent breakfast, lunch, and dinner, assuming you're having 3 meals a day, or if you were doing 2 meals a day, obviously having a somewhat consistent timing to those meals. So in between breakfast and lunch, you would be doing what we might call a mini fast. Credit to Megan Ramos, by the way, for that term. A mini fast could be between breakfast and lunch, between lunch and dinner. And then after dinner, the overnight fast is a little bit longer, right? So if you think about not snacking after dinner, perhaps you might finish your dinner around 7 or 8 at night. And then if you had breakfast around 7 or 8 the next morning, the result is you end up fasting for about 12 hours. That would be pretty typical. It could be a little more or a little less. But in essence, you're already doing some pretty substantial time-restricted eating once you stop snacking after dinner. Since we're talking about baby steps, perhaps a good way to start would be to just pick one interval, just the time between breakfast and lunch, or the time between lunch and dinner, and focus on avoiding any snacks during that interval. Once you have a week or two under your belt, then add on some more time. So for example, you could avoid snacks all the way from breakfast until dinner. And then after you have a few weeks under your belt, maybe even a full month, then you could start being a little bit more strict about avoiding snacks after dinner so that you end up doing that overnight fast of about 12 hours, give or take. This might be a good time to mention that one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're starting a new nutrition regimen or a new workout regimen or any other lifestyle improvements is that they try to do too much, too soon, too fast. And so oftentimes, it's like New Year's resolutions. Think about all the New Year's resolutions people make, and then they stick with them for maybe a couple days, maybe a week at the most in most cases. So instead of doing that, this is all about starting slowly, starting gradually, and making it easy at the beginning. Not only does that make it less intimidating, it also gives your body and mind more time to adapt to something new, something different. And so in the long run, you're a lot more likely to be able to stick with it and sort of permanently adopt a healthier lifestyle. So once you start trying to avoid snacks in between meals, another important thing to consider is the meals themselves. If you're just eating a sparse little meal, you're gonna get hungry really soon. So instead of that, try to have hearty meals that are high in healthy fats, high in protein, and have them at fairly consistent times. When you consume more fat and protein, you stay satisfied longer. It boosts your satiety. There are several satiety hormones that are stimulated by fat and by protein. They also slow down your stomach emptying, so stuff stays in your stomach longer, And so the digestion process takes longer, and so you're less likely to get hungry as quickly afterwards. Another thing that happens when you eat more fat and protein is that you don't get a blood sugar spike that's as big. It'll be more slow and gradual, and so you'll be less likely to crash afterwards. In other words, when you have a blood sugar spike, generally it comes crashing down, and your blood sugar goes just a little bit low, and then you feel hungry again. So if you can avoid that, you're less likely to get hungry as soon as you normally do. Okay, so what are some examples of healthy fats? What are those fats that you would want to include in your meal to keep you satisfied longer? Well, the obvious ones are the oils like coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, and then you have butter, which is often maligned but is actually a pretty healthy source of fat, nuts, peanut butter, avocados, and then the meat and fish and poultry. The fat from that can be healthy if it's raised properly, but you know, there's a lot of nuances to that, so I won't get into all of those today. And I wouldn't worry too much about it from day one. You can kind of figure out some of the more subtle distinctions later on. And what are some examples of foods that are high in protein that would keep you satisfied longer? Well, I'm guessing you basically know this already, but I'll mention a few just in case. So most people would probably think of meat, fish, poultry, eggs, and dairy products as being the highest in protein, and that's true. And those are also the ones that you can absorb the most effectively. They're the most bioavailable types of protein. And some of the plant foods that have the most protein include nuts, seeds like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, and legumes. So to illustrate what I mean about having a big meal that keeps you satisfied for a long time, I thought I'd share a little story. Well, a few years ago, I went on a trip to Mexico, to the Cancun area, I think for 3 or 4 days, something like that. And it happened to coincide with a challenge I was doing at the time. And for this challenge, I had to lose a little bit of weight. And so the problem was, of course, I was going to be traveling. And normally when I'm traveling, I eat way too much and I probably gain a few pounds. So I thought a little bit about what can I do not to gain as much weight and to actually lose a little bit of weight while I'm on this trip. And so I decided to do basically what they call one meal a day. I really like tacos and other Mexican food, so I thought, well, I'll have a whole bunch just one time per day, enough to get really full. And I'll really enjoy it. I'll eat slowly. I'll chew it. I'll savor it. I'll do all those things. So I'll really enjoy my food, but I'll eat plenty so that I'm nice and full. And so I did that. And of course, that kind of food had tortillas and stuff and maybe some chips, but also a decent amount of meat and cheese, and they probably use some oil when they're cooking it. So I had a lot of fat and protein, and it made me feel satisfied and full for a long time. It made it so my stomach emptied very slowly, and it took a long time to digest the food. So each day while I was there, I had a meal kind of like that around noon each day. And then about 5 hours later, I had one other mini meal, and that was just an avocado. At least some of the days I used an avocado. So I would just eat an avocado because that's high in fat. And it's also high in fiber, which is another good thing if you're trying to stay full longer, because fiber makes it so your stomach empties more slowly as well. So I did that for about 3 or 4 days. And then I had my weigh-in for the challenge. And I had actually reached my goal, which meant I had lost a couple pounds on the trip. So I had enjoyed a bunch of delicious tacos and other things like that, but I had actually lost weight. And that's basically because I was fasting through a large portion of the day. Now, I don't recommend you go that far all at once. I don't recommend you start that way as a beginner. I had already done a lot of fasting before that, so I was familiar with what it felt like and everything. But the point of that story was that when I ate the large meal that had a pretty good amount of protein and fat in it, I stayed full for several hours afterwards, many hours. And then I boosted it by eating that additional avocado as well. Okay, so that's basically it for today. So let me recap or summarize. The point of this episode was to talk about what you can do as the very first step as a beginner if you haven't tried fasting and you want to give it a try. And that first step is to stop snacking. Start small, start slowly. So start by just avoiding snacks maybe between breakfast and lunch, for example. And then after you've done that for a week or two, add on the time between lunch and dinner. And then after a week or two of that, start avoiding snacks after dinner. And as with everything, it doesn't have to be the same every day. For example, you could start doing this just on weekdays if that was easier and not worrying about it on weekends, or every other day, or just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever works for you. It's very adaptable, but pick something, start slowly, start small. And ideally with the meals that you're eating, try to eat things that are high in fat, high in protein, that'll keep you satisfied for a long time. I hope the tips I've shared in today's show have been helpful. If you'd like to read about some other tips to make fasting easy, I've created an easy fasting guide which you can download on my website. It's only about 10 pages long, but it walks you through 5 key steps to make fasting easy at the beginning. That includes some of the things I talked about in this show, like starting gradually, as well as a few other tips. If you want to take a look at it, go to fastingwell.com/easy, E-A-S-Y. That's fastingwell.com/easy. And I'll put a link in the show notes as well. If you found this episode helpful, please also share it with at least one other person. That's one of the things that really helps a lot, is just to spread the word so more people can learn about the health benefits of fasting. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Fasting Well podcast. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.